Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Wat als je waaroms groter zijn dan je waars? Daarover krijg je straks een antwoord door de dominee die de dienst de Crystal Cathedral afsluit. En dan hebben we iemand die heeft meegedaan aan American Idols. Hij bracht het heel ver als zanger en heeft een knieprobleem. En daarover vertelt hij over diepte en hoogtepunten in je leven. En verder, en dat is in Amerika heel beroemd, een handbelkoor. Met allemaal van die mooie klokken die zo prachtig worden bespeeld door studenten. En als ik het over studenten heb, dan heb ik het over professor Dr. Lans Bovenberg, die vanmorgen onze gast is. Hij is econoom aan de Universiteit in Tilburg en de meest vooraanstaande wetenschapper op het gebied van vergrijzing en pensioenen. En adviseur van onze regering. En meneer Bovenberg, of Lans als ik dat mag zeggen, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Is er nog hoop voor de mensen die wat vergrijs naar dit programma kijken?
Ja, absoluut. Ik denk dat we ervoor moeten zorgen dat de vergrijzing de samenleving beter maakt.
Kijk, en daar gaan we het straks over hebben. De vergrijzing die de samenleving beter maakt. Een interessant onderwerp. En deze prof wil straks dominee worden. Ook daarover gaan we praten. Maar eerst gaan we naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral.
And welcome to Crystal Cathedral. Turn around, shake hands with somebody, and tell them God loves you, and so do I. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice. No matter what, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for the sunshine. The sun rises every day. We don't have to make it rise. We don't have to pray for it to rise. We just know every single day the sun will rise. You are the one who makes the sun to rise. You are the one who is there. We can count on you as much as we can count on the sun to rise every single day. So rise in our hearts today, O Lord. Rise up and shine so brightly that the clouds of doubt are burned away and replaced with your glorious, glorious new day. Amen. And now, I'm so thrilled to introduce to you the Soundwave Handbell Choir from Gem State Academy under the direction of Ben Purvis. Thank you, guys. And is this true? You're just high school students? Wow, you're very impressive.
Thank you.
child won a special spot in my heart when he was a Sunday school teacher for my sons. And they were four rambunctious boys, and Harold loved on them anyway. And they learned about God, and they learned about God's word through wonderful, wonderful Mr. Shaw. And I saw how much my boys loved Mr. Shaw, and they loved Sunday school because of him. Well, today, Harold is a wonderful volunteer leader in our ministry. He has led numerous part of our prison ministry mission, as well as a trip to Africa. And he is our volunteer leader of men's ministry. But of all the accomplishments that Harold has accomplished in his life, he counts his greatest pride and joy, his wife of 31 years. Please welcome with me Harold Shaw. Harold, come on up.
Thank you, sir. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Harold.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You are such a dear friend. So tell me, what is the source of this beautiful smile and joy and strong? You're just like a Peter Rock, Harold. Where's the source of all of
that
for
you? Well, thank you, Sheila. That joy that you see comes from the Lord, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed me in the good times, the bad times, when I'm down and when I'm up.
Wow.
Yes.
And tell me about your Monday night men's ministry that you lead, your band of brothers, because there are many other men out here who might want to know about it and get involved.
Great. I would like to give an invitation to the men to join us, the band of brothers, on Monday nights from 7 until 8:30. And with the Monday night band of brothers, what we do is to help men to become aware of their giftedness, to become empowered, so that they will submit to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so that the Lord can build into their life, man on man, building into one another, and thereby empowering them to go and leave and to invest in their communities, their families, their workplaces, and their church, of course.
Of course.
Servant leadership is very important.
It is wonderful. So, Harold, will you read our scripture for us this morning?
Well, thank you very much, Sheila.
Thank you.
God bless.
You too.
Good morning. As we continue the series on Everyone Counts, hear these words from Ephesians that remind us of God's love and His gift of grace, which are available for us all. God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend all that is, what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever.
He's been visually impaired since birth. He started playing piano, teaching himself at the age of 3. Then he started taking classical lessons at 6. He's since learned to play organ, guitar, bass, and drums, and at 14 was accepted into Arizona State University's Barrett Honors College and Herberger College of the Fine Arts. At only 14. And in 2005, he received the coveted Marshall and Fulbright scholarships and was ranked by USA Today as one of the top 20 undergraduate seniors in the United States of America. And he graduated summa cum laude at 19. He'll be singing for us after the interview, and the song he will be singing is a song he composed while he was in the hospital with kidney failure and possibly dying. He's got a story. Well, his name is Scott McIntyre. Give him a warm, wonderful welcome. Hi.
How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Scott, I noticed now what exciting, alive eyes you have.
That's the funny thing. Everyone comments on my eyes, even though I can't see. And I'm very thankful. I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Wow. Well, tell me, you were here once before.
I was. You know, we go way back. I was here when I was 12 years old.
You remember that?
I remember it. And as soon as I came back this morning, your voice just brought back all those memories to me. I was 12 years old. I was a little shorter.
Yeah, a little.
And my voice was a little higher. And it is great to be back.
You remember that event 12 years ago?
I do.
It was an inspiration, I hope.
It was amazing, and it was such a blessing to be here, and I was over at the piano, and you interviewed me just like this. It was quite a memory.
Wow. Now, you really burst into the big time on American Idol. What made you go off and get onto the American Idol?
You know, it was a couple things, and a lot of you probably saw me on that TV show, American Idol, little show, you know. Yeah. Thank you. But it was really, you know, it was a couple of things. I wanted to share my music with more and more people. I felt like I had been called to do that. But more than that, even, I've always wanted, as a performer, as a songwriter, as a musician, to do more than just get up here and entertain people and sing for people. I've really wanted to share my heart with people through music, and I feel...
That's called to a ministry.
Exactly.
You are a minister of music.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much that I feel can shine through my music, and I feel like I can say many things in a song that I can never say in a normal conversation. It's like a window to the soul, you know, and God has done so much in my life, as you were just beginning to mention. I couldn't play music and not share that. So going on American Idol and every CD that I've done, every performance that I do, has always been about sharing my heart through music and sharing my triumphs over what I've been through in my life.
And the reason you are a success is because it starts in the heart, not in the head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what creates sincerity.
I believe that.
You bet. Tell me... you're going to be singing from a new recording, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The song I'll be singing is from my new album, Heart Strings, as in the strings of your heart. And the song is called View from Above. And I wrote this song at a very difficult time in my life. I wrote View from Above while I was in a hospital receiving dialysis for my kidney failure. A lot of people know about my blindness from American Idol, but they don't know about my kidney failure, and I've been through a lot in my life. There's going to be a book I'm writing about four months down the road that will go into a lot more detail. But I was dealing with kidney failure for 2 years. I didn't know if God would have me on that for the rest of my life, or if my life would be suddenly shortened or ended. I didn't know if I would receive a transplant and where that would come from. And then August 2007. After 2 years of wondering and praying and hoping and just not knowing what was going on, The wife of my former piano instructor donated her kidney to me and literally saved my life.
When you become so successful, do you still practice piano?
I do.
Every day?
I do. It's something I have to do every day. It gets really tough for me if I'm away from a piano, and then I start imagining it in my head, you know? But whenever I write songs, sometimes it's in my head, sometimes it's at a piano, and sometimes it's in a hospital bed like that. You know, music is always running through my mind, and I feel like God has allowed that to totally compensate for my lack of vision.
You are a very strong believer, as was, I believe, your mother, mm-hmm. your family, and they're here today. I don't know if they're at the first service or this service. If they're here, I'd like to have them stand.
They're here, I believe, yeah.
You know, you really shine with the faith. What are your goals?
You know, I am so excited because after American Idol, I got to go on tour with the top 10 from American Idol that year, and we went through 52 arenas across the U.S. and Canada.
Oh,
it was amazing. My piano rose up out of the stage every night, and we tried to get that to work here, and you know, didn't quite come together at the last minute. But it was amazing, and just to be able to, I remember I had my 2-year anniversary of my kidney transplant while I was on the road, and we had crowds of 10,000 to 15,000 people every night, and I remember standing on stage and just thinking to myself, this is such a blessing. When I couldn't even sit up to play or sing 2 years ago, to be able to share my gift in front of all these people was absolutely a dream come true. And the album Heartstrings has come out. I'm working on the book, so I am very, very excited and very thankful.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. God loves you, so do I.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Scott McIntyre, Heartstrings. He's going to be singing a song from here now. And we have it in our bookstore. So, or you get it through Hour of Power. But this is special.
So hard to keep moving when only assuming the view from above, the view from above. Given to anxiety, experience remorse. Gravity's objective is to dominate the score. Some of us aren't strong enough to overcome the force. We will climb this mountain and together we will soar to the view from above. View from above is hard to believe, but the outcome is worth the shortage of sleep. The moment you see it, you know why you need it. The view from above, the view from above, the view from above, the view from
Scott McIntyre zong over het feit dat je eerst een berg moet beklimmen om een prachtig uitzicht te hebben. En dat heeft ook alles met geloof te maken. Soms moet je een berg beklimmen om het uitzicht te krijgen waar je naar zoekt. Vanmorgen hebben we als bijzondere gast professor Dr. Lans Bovenberg. Het is een van de meest vooraanstaande economen van ons land. Een paar jaar geleden werd hij uitgeroepen tot een van de 100 Nederlanders die de koers van dit land bepalen. Hij is verbonden aan de Universiteit van Tilburg en was daarvoor verbonden aan de Universiteit in Berkeley, de Erasmus Universiteit. Lid van het Internationaal Monetaire Fonds, verbonden aan de Sociaal-Economische Raad. Kortom, iemand die heel veel wijsheid in pacht heeft als het om de economie gaat. Maar vooral, en dat is bijzonder, deze econoom wil ook graag dominee worden. Goedemorgen, Lans Bovenberg.
Goedemorgen.
Fijn dat je er bent. Een hele mond vol, hè? Wat een functies allemaal.
Ja. Ik heb heel veel in mijn leven gedaan en dat maakt het ook interessant. Eigenlijk steeds weer dingen waarvan ik dacht, daar kan ik weer wat van groeien. Ja. En dat heb ik dan geprobeerd.
Ja. Je houdt je als econoom bezig met de snelle vergrijzing van onze samenleving. We hebben heel veel grijze kijkers, daar zijn we erg blij mee. Waarom is dat zo belangrijk?
Vergrijzing wordt vaak gezien als een bedreiging, maar het is ook een enorme kans. Ook om meer mensen aan het werk te bieden en meer in mensen zelf te investeren, zodat de samenleving ook weer beter wordt.
Ja, dus je bent voor de pensionering van op je 67ste jaar?
Ja, ik denk omdat we met z'n allen steeds langer leven. Dat is eigenlijk heel goed nieuws. Vergrijzing komt voor een groot deel gewoon omdat we lang leven. Nou, dat is mooi nieuws. En is het ook wat logisch dat we van die extra jaren ook wat extra werken. Dus ik ben eigenlijk voor dat de pensioenleeftijd op een of andere manier gekoppeld wordt aan de levensverwachting. Dus als we er 1 jaar bij krijgen, dat we dan ook een half of 2/3 jaar langer werken.
Ik zei het al in mijn opening, u wordt gezien als een van de 100 meest invloedrijke mensen van ons land. U wordt gekenschetst als een briljante wetenschapper, gelauwerd in binnen- en buitenland. U heeft een aantal onderscheidingen gekregen. Maakt u dat hoogmoedig of maakt u dat nederig?
De neiging is natuurlijk om hoogmoedig te zijn. En ja, als ik eerlijk ben, dan gebeurt het ook wel eens. Maar daarom is het juist zo belangrijk om te blijven, dicht bij God te blijven leven. En ook de Bijbel te blijven lezen. Want alles wat ik bereikt heb, is uiteindelijk te danken aan mijn hemelse Vader, die me daarbij geholpen heeft. Ja. En die alles wat ik heb, is eigenlijk door hem gegeven. Ja. Dus het leven is vol genade. En ik heb die genade ook mogen ervaren in de talenten die mij heeft gegeven. Dus uiteindelijk is het niet mijn eer, maar ook zijn eer vooral.
Wat heel interessant en boeiend is, dat je als econoom voortdurend bezig bent met hoe ontwikkelt onze samenleving, de economie zich. Nou ligt die onder druk, de financiële schandalen, de bouwschandalen, politieke schandalen. En dan heb ik het idee dat mensen ook het vertrouwen gaan verliezen in economen en in de economie en in de waarachtigheid daarvan.
Ja, dat is denk ik op dit moment een enorme uitdaging voor onze samenleving. Ik denk dat de crisis ook een soort kruispunt is. Aan de ene kant zouden we een weg kunnen nemen die leidt tot verbittering en tot meer het uiteenvallen van de samenleving, omdat mensen elkaar ook minder vertrouwen, want uiteindelijk draait de economie ook op vertrouwen. Een andere weg is toch een weg van bekering. En dat zou natuurlijk de weg zijn die we op zouden moeten gaan op dit moment.
En dat vind ik nou een hele interessante opmerking, want die hoor ik niet zoveel in deze tijd. De weg van de bekering.
Ja, ik denk dat de crisis ook voor een deel is ontstaan door de economie van het ego, zeg ik wel eens. De ego-economie. Economie van de twee H's. Dus van de hoogmoed en van de hebzucht. En ik denk ook dat het nu het moment is om wat meer de economie van de geest te gaan volgen. En de geest van genade en van geven. En ik denk dat het nu een moment is dat zo'n crisis ook tot zo'n herbezinning kan leiden. En ja, eigenlijk is de crisis in die zin een zegen, dat het een soort wake-up call is, wat de gevolgen zijn van het heel erg denken op de korte termijn en niet nadenken over de lange termijn. Niet alleen in de financiële wereld, maar denk bijvoorbeeld ook aan het milieu. Dat soort zaken. En wat dat betreft mogen we denk ik dankbaar zijn voor de crisis. Het geeft kansen om weer een nieuwe weg in te slaan die uiteindelijk meer welvaart en ook meer geluk oplevert voor ons allemaal.
Dankbaar voor de crisis, dat is een uitspraak die ik nog nooit gehoord heb.
Nee, maar ik denk ook als je naar je eigen leven kijkt, als je naar mijn eigen leven kijkt, zijn er momenten dat je door een persoonlijke crisis gaat. En dan kan dat of leiden tot verbittering of tot eigenlijk loutering en weer een nieuwe weg ingaan die beter is.
Nou zei je net, je moet soms door teleurstellingen, crisis, tegenslagen heen om verder te komen in het leven. Heel persoonlijke vraag, wat heb je zelf meegemaakt, als je dat vragen mag?
Nou ja, ik heb laatst bijvoorbeeld, mijn moeder is drie maanden geleden overleden. Dat heeft mij wel heel diep geraakt, want ik ben enig kind. Ik heb dus altijd heel veel contact gehad met mijn ouders. Mijn ouders hebben ook meer kinderen gehad die allemaal zijn overleden op hele jonge leeftijd, weliswaar. Dus ik was heel belangrijk voor mijn moeder en andersom ook. En dat zij er nu niet meer is, dat heeft me ook een beetje in een crisis gebracht, zeg maar.
Ja, hoe komt u eruit?
Ja, dit is toch vooral een situatie van de enorme rijkdom die je ook ervaart van het geloof. Omdat ik weet dat mijn moeder nu bij de Heer is, het nu eigenlijk beter heeft dan met name in de laatste maanden van haar leven. Want het was allemaal niet eenvoudig. En tegelijkertijd weet ik dat ik, ondanks het feit dat mijn moeder is overleden, dat ik geen wees ben, omdat ik een vader in de hemel heb waarmee ik altijd kan communiceren.
Wat ik mooi vind is, en dat zie je niet zo snel bij een wetenschapper, een academicus, dat je emoties ziet, maar je bent niet bang om daarover te praten.
Nee, ik denk uiteindelijk dat het leven goed wordt als we zowel intellect hebben als emotie. Dat brengt eenheid in de mens. Ja. Wetenschap en geloof worden natuurlijk vaak als water en vuur gezien. Ik denk juist dat het eigenlijk twee kanten van dezelfde medaille zijn. Dus het geloof gaat vooral om de dingen die wij niet kunnen zien, maar waar het vooral draait om vertrouwen. Terwijl wetenschap gaat om de dingen die we wel kunnen zien, maar het is dezelfde realiteit. Het gaat om één en dezelfde realiteit. En dus geloof en wetenschap staan niet los van elkaar. In mijn optiek verrijken ze elkaar alleen maar.
Weer even terug naar de economie. Wat is de economie van Jezus?
De economie van Jezus is denk ik tweeledig. In de eerste plaats draait het bij Jezus om de eer van God en je geluk vinden in God. En het andere is je geluk vinden in andere mensen. Dus dat is eigenlijk het grote gebod natuurlijk. Heb God lief met geheel uw hart en met geheel uw ziel en met geheel uw verstand en met geheel uw kracht. En het tweede daaraan gelijk is, heb de naaste lief als jezelf. Dat is denk ik de kern van de economie van het Koninkrijk van God.
Daar kun je leven lang over doen.
Absoluut. Ja. En zelfs na ons aardse leven hier mogen we daarmee bezig blijven. Ja. Dat is mooi.
Er is iets bijzonders in je leven. De econoom die dominee wil worden, want je preekt al op de kansel.
Ja.
Waarom?
Ja, omdat ik eigenlijk heel enthousiast ben over God. Als ik een preek voorbereid, dan leer ik vaak weer meer over wie God is. En het grote gebod draait dus om God liefhebben met geheel je verstand. En ja, God heeft mij gezegend met een goed verstand. Dus ik wil hem ook met mijn verstand beter leren kennen. Dus preken betekent ook meer verdiepen in wie God is. En het mooie is dan ook dat je het door kan geven aan andere mensen. En op die manier ook andere mensen weer geluk mag geven.
Jezus preekte eigenlijk niet. Die sprak in gelijkenissen. Wat vind jij zijn mooiste gelijkenis?
De mooiste gelijkenis is toch die van de verloren zoon. Omdat die...
Amen.
Die geeft denk ik de kern van het evangelie weer. Ja. Namelijk dat God van ons houdt. Ja. Dus er was een theoloog, Karl Barth, vaak van gehoord, denk ik. We hebben hem gevraagd van, in al uw nadenken, wat is nou het diepste wat u geleerd hebt uit de Bijbel? En toen zei hij, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. En dat is de kern van het evangelie, dat wij geliefd zijn door God. En dat geeft die gelijkenis natuurlijk op zo'n geweldige manier aan. Zelfs als we van hem wegdwalen en we komen terug, staat hij met open armen op ons te wachten. Dat is denk ik de kern van het evangelie.
Lans, ik wil je heel erg bedanken dat je hier vanmorgen aanwezig wilde zijn en met ons wilde delen wat de echte economie is en waar het werkelijk om gaat in het leven. Er staat ook in dit boek dat over jou is geschreven, De Balans van Bovenberg, Economie en Geloof in Crisistijd. Ik ga het lezen.
Ik ben benieuwd wat je ervan vindt.
Ja, ik zal het laten weten. We hebben twee boeken, Crisis wordt een denken vanuit mogelijkheden.
Oké, fantastisch. Ja.
En dan voor in de auto, want ik weet dat je van mooie gezangen en opgewekte liederen houdt. Het koor van de Crystal Cathedral, wat een aantal van die bekende hymnes zingt.
Fantastisch, daar ga ik van genieten.
Oké. Hoop nog veel van je te horen. En nogmaals dank voor die levensloopregeling. Ja. En wij gaan terug nadat we u een vraag hebben gesteld naar de Crystal Cathedral. En ik wil nog even bijzeggen. Geweldig dat we mensen als Lans Bovenberg mogen interviewen. En dat u als kijker dat mogelijk maakt.
Hour of Power kan alleen dankzij de hulp van trouwe donateurs de wekelijkse uitzendingen voor u verzorgen. Hour of Power zoekt 500 nieuwe partners die samen met dominee Schuller de boodschap van geloof, hoop en liefde willen brengen. Wilt u ook een partner van ons zijn? Word dan nu donateur en ontvang gratis het zojuist verschenen Bijbelsdagboek Kracht voor Elke Dag. Misschien wel het meest mooie en inspirerende dagboek in de geschiedenis van Hour of Power. Elke dag een prachtige foto van Ken Duncan met een Bijbelvers en een korte boodschap. Speciaal geselecteerd uit de boeken en preken van de familie Schuller. Bij elkaar bedoeld om u te helpen kracht te putten uit Gods woord. Gods kracht is er voor u, elke dag. Meld u aan als donateur en bel ons nu 035 538 0588 of kijk op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Als u nu donateur wordt, dan sturen wij u als welkomstgeschenk het prachtige Bijbelsdagboek Kracht voor Elke Dag. Alvast hartelijk dank voor uw steun.
Overwhelmed with the honor of being here with you this day. I have been here 4 times in 7 months. Very rarely do I have such an outstanding invitation to come to the same place so many times, but for me it's an honor and a privilege, and I want to thank Dr. Schuller, I want to thank Sheila, and I want to thank Gretchen for expressing to me the confidence and the trust to stand before this great church, because I love being here. And I really enjoy being here because I like you. You are some of the finest people, and I am a richer man because of friends like you. I leave that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Coming up with today's message title was rather challenging. I've always believed and has sort of been mentored in the sense by Dr. Schuller that you should come up with a title that really nails it, a hook, something that really grabs the attention. And when I decided what I wanted to speak on today, the whole idea was, is your reason for doing something larger than any excuse you could come up with? I thought, well, there's not a hook there. I got to come up with something better. Is your why bigger than any excuse you could come up with? I thought, no, I could do better than that. And came up with, is your why bigger than your butt? I thought Dr. Schuller would really like that title. And that is the truth. When our reason to do something is larger than our excuse, then there's nothing we cannot do in Jesus' name. I believe that beyond the shadow of a doubt. No matter what it is that you set out to do, if your excuse is larger than your reason, you'll look for a shorter shortcut. Now, I lost 60 pounds 13 years ago, so I am half the man that I used to be. And no matter where I've traveled, no matter where I've gone, throughout Latin America and the United States, no one has ever asked me why I lost the weight. Everyone wants to know. But the how is not the right question to ask. I could take you to Barnes & Noble and take you to a Borders or any other bookstore and show you thousands of books on how to make money, on how to lose weight, on how to have a healthy and happy marriage, how to raise godly kids, how to reach the goals and the dreams and the aspirations. What no one can show you and what no one can do for you is give you a why. Only you and God can come up with a why. And if your why is bigger than your excuse, the but, the conjunction, then there isn't anything, I believe there's nothing you can't overcome. Numbers 16 has a wonderful story. It talks about a man by the name of Korah, who was a rebellious man, filled with pessimism. He was negative. He was a backbiter. He was a grumbler. And he walked up to Moses and he said to them, "You put too many demands on the Lord's people." And the Lord, to make the story a little bit more concise, a little shorter, the Lord speaks to Moses and says, "Move away from these grumbling, complaining people so I can put an end to them at once. And that's in fact what happened. The ground opens up and swallows up Korah and 250 members of his family and his household. Now you would think that the nation of Israel would have learned their lesson. But apparently they didn't, because in verse 41 it says, "The next day the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. 'You killed the Lord's people,' they said. But when the assembly gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron and turned toward the tent of meeting, suddenly the cloud covered it and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord said to Moses, 'Get away from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once.' And they fell face down. Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Take your censer and put incense in it along with fire from the altar and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Wrath has come out from the Lord. The plague has started.' So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. The plague had already started among the people. But Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them." Verse 48. "And he stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. But 14,700 people died from the plague, in addition to those who had died because of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting, for the plague had stopped." Have you ever stood between the living and the dead? Have you ever stood in a place where you could feel death's breath on the back of your neck? Have you ever been in a place where you could see life or death literally passing before your eyes? I think most of us here would say yes. And I'll tell you why. Because I was once lost, and now I'm found. I was once dead, and God brought me back to life. How many of you were once lost, and now you're found? You know exactly what it's like to pass from death and come back to life. And when I see Aaron standing in that gap, interceding for those people, I see an image of someone. And when I ask myself that question, why in the world would he do that? Because Aaron had a why that was bigger than his excuse. And I see the image of Aaron standing there. He's bridging the gap between the living and the dead. And I see the same image of Jesus on a cross that reaches into death, bringing people back to life. And that's exactly what God does. That's exactly what God can do. That's exactly what God desires to do in your life. He desires to take your hand and lead you from that desolate spot of death and bring you back to life. There is great hope here this morning, friends. If you feel overwhelmed, if you don't know how you're going to make it, maybe you've started this year and it has not blossomed into the year that you hoped it would, I've come to tell you this morning that he stands in the gap and he invites you to take his hand from death, lead you back to life. I received an email this week from a friend of mine from Costa Rica. His name is Andre. He told me that he is the father of two children, that he is in charge of international and national sales in that corporation, that God has helped him move up the corporate ladder. He's a successful businessman in every sense of the word. Now let me pause the tape and let me rewind the tape 15 years. My wife and I are missionary evangelists along with our three daughters, and we travel throughout North and South America. Much like Billy Graham open air evangelistic meetings, we hold those as well. And the very first meeting we held was in a place called Los Cuadros, a marginalized neighborhood filled with gang violence, drug trafficking, and prostitution. I walked up to one of the host pastors and I said, "I want to locate our crusade in the most dangerous, most drug-infested area of the city." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Oh, I'm absolutely positive. If God is with me, who can be against me?" We set up shop. Put up our flatbed trailer. Put up our sound system and our lighting. The first night of that event, during the second song, a gang came and started throwing huge concrete rocks that were exploding on top of that trailer. During the third song, an undercover cop grabbed another guy who was trying to sell him cocaine, beat him into the ground with nunchucks, and threw him into the back of the squad car, 10 feet from where I was standing and where I was sharing. During the fourth song, another enemy gang member pulled out a crowbar and struck another enemy gang member in the head, split his skull in two, blood everywhere, and a huge brawl broke out in the middle of this service. And I thought to myself, this is the most holy roller service I've ever been a part of in my life. I called the cops, got out the plaque, called the cops. I said, you guys need to get here. They said, where are you? I said, we're in Los Cuadros. They said, we'll be there tomorrow. I was ready to throw in the towel. I really was. Scared out of my mind that after that night, I went home and I turned on Larry King. And I saw a gray-haired man with glasses talking to Larry King about his new book. A book entitled, If It's Going to Be, It's Up to Me. Written by Dr. Robert Shuler. We went into the fourth night of that campaign. After all the fighting and after all the brawls, I saw 5 enemy gang leaders walk onto that lot. And when these 5 enemy gang leaders walked onto that lot looking for that kid who had the crowbar earlier, I saw pastors and security moving out of their way to give these 5 guys passage. They planted themselves at the base of a light tower and began to scan that crowd for that kid with the crowbar. At that, I was handed the microphone and I started to preach. Now, when I preach, I usually move all around the place. I mean, I come off the platform, I come up the platform, I even walk down the aisles. And when I started to share, I looked out at that audience and I said, there is a hell and there is a heaven, and the only way you can get from one place to the other is by grabbing the hand of the Savior who leads you from death and brings you back to life. Hallelujah. At that, the lead gang member turned to his associate. He said, what did this guy just say? He said, you mean that crazy gringo up there speaking? Yeah, what did he just say? He said, we're all going to hell. There's nothing we can do about it. He did, didn't he? Yeah, that's exactly what he's pointing to the 5 of us. Especially those 5 by the light tower. And the leader turned to his associate and he said, well, we'll see who's going to hell after this service is over. And they stopped looking for that kid with the crowbar. And they started focusing on me. And I knew it. So I didn't come off the platform anymore. No, sirree, I stayed right in the middle, behind, well lit. And as I concluded my message to give my invitation for people to begin a relationship with God, I looked over to the side and there were the musicians. They were all huddled together because they knew it was going down. They were all huddled together and they're praying, oh God, please don't let him kill Jason. And all of a sudden, I began to witness the miracle of miracles. As they began to pray, I was standing from a well-protected place on the platform, and I could look out, and I could see these 5 guys on their knees asking the Lord into their lives. And they got up with tears in their eyes, and they came down to the front, and they were crying, and they said, Oh, Jason, we just wanted to ask for forgiveness, because we were going to kill you afterwards, but now you don't have to worry about that. And I said, thank you, Jesus. 4 days later, I received a phone call. And the other end of the phone was a guy. His name was John. He said, is this Jason, friend? I said, yes. He said, this is John. I was the guy who was going to kill you after the service. You remember me? I said, I will never forget you for the rest of my life. He said, God is so good. He's been doing something revolutionary in my life. Hold on a second. Carlos wants to talk to you. Carlos gets on the phone. You remember me? I said, I won't forget you either. God is so good. He's been doing something tremendous in my life. Hang on a second. Roberto wants to say hi to you. Talked to all 5 guys. Last one to get on the line was a young man by the name of Andre. All 5 of these guys had left their organized crime behind. And when they left, they began to join local churches, and this day each and every one of them are involved in ministry. The gang activity has never been the same in that neighborhood ever since. I got the email from Andre 15 years after the fact. Transformational power of God working in the life of the individual. And why does he do it, friend? He does it. Why does he stand between the living and the dead? He does it because he has a why. Jesus has a why. And you know who that why is? You. You are God's why. He loves you. You are the apple of his eye. There is nothing, there is no barrier, there's no obstacle that could ever prevent God from trying to reach you because you are his why. He loves you. And whatever it is that you may face, whatever difficulty that you may be trying to overcome, what is it that we all want? We all want to be happy. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be reasonably prosperous. Some of us want to be unreasonably prosperous. We all want to have healthy family relationships, decent friendships. We all want to have hope and peace of mind. I can tell you the Savior understands, and he reaches out to pull people from death to bring them back to life. Take his hand this morning, friend. It will be the wisest decision that you ever make. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your presence. And I ask God that you would do something wonderful this morning. Help us, Lord, to understand that the why is bigger than any excuse in your mind. And help us to understand that everyone does count because your why is bigger than any excuse. So I pray for my friends across this wonderful sanctuary and over the television airwaves, anyone who is facing that difficult issue, that trial, who desires to make a breakthrough this year, I pray that the power of God would meet them, grab their hand, and pull them from death and bring them back to life. As I continue to pray, friend, I'm not going to ask you to stand or come down to the front, but if you're facing that difficult challenge this morning, I want to invite you to slip up your hand as a gesture before the Lord and saying, God, I am ready to take your hand. I'm ready to overcome. Slip up that hand as I continue to pray. Father, I thank you for each and every hand that is raised this morning. I pray that you would take these hands and lead them from death back to life. I pray, Lord, that you would break through. And that each and every one of us would experience your power, your might, your goodness, your grace, your hope. And upon this church, and upon every voice, upon this church, and upon every ear that hears my voice, and every eye that watches this television program, I speak the blessings of God. I speak his goodness. I speak his peace. I speak his provision upon your life, my friend, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, and God bless you.
We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all. Show us the reason to live.
Will you join me?
We are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died. To a world that was lost, he gave all he could give. To show
so now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there will be for you no sunrise, no sunset, only eternal life with him in heaven. Amen.
En dat was een bemoedigende boodschap. Ook al ga je je eigen weg, en we hebben het erover gehad, de weg die niet naar geluk en leven leidt, er is altijd een weg terug. En op die weg wacht God op je. Wat een bemoedigende boodschap vanmorgen in Hour of Power. Fijn dat u en dat jij gekeken hebt. Er zijn heel veel mensen die dromen ervan om nog een keer in de Crystal Cathedral een dienst mee te mogen maken. Nou, dat is mogelijk, want van 1 tot en met 15 december is er een reis die gaat zeker door naar de Crystal Cathedral. Tijdens de Glory of Christmas, dan wordt het kerstevangelie opgevoerd in de Crystal Cathedral. Dat is een ware belevenis. En ook een persoonlijke ontmoeting bij leven en welzijn met dominee Schuller. Wij nemen afscheid en dat is dan weer voor een week. Maar volgende week hebben we als bijzondere gast onze demissionaire vicepremier André Rauwvoet. Die vertelt heel persoonlijk over zijn geloof en niet zoveel over politiek. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. En bedankt voor het kijken.